This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Welcome to the Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and our first article comes from Front Page News. B-2 stealth bomber completes maintenance in record time, dated October 23, 2024. The B-2 stealth bomber Spirit of Nebraska set a new maintenance record, the Air Force announced Monday. The bomber is set to stalk the skies after its scheduled tune-up finished 91 days ahead of schedule on October 15th. Before the new record, the bombers took 470 days for Program Depot Maintenance, or PDM, which occurs every 9 years. It focuses on repairing the bomber and its stealth materials. This time around, Spirit of Nebraska only took 379 days, thanks to updates to the Air Force Life Cycle Management Center Bombers Directorate made to the approach. Bringing these jets into PDM, getting the work done quickly, and delivering them back to the warfighter early is a big deal, said Colonel Francis Marino, a B-2 Systems Program Manager who serves in the Bombers Directorate. The Directorate reduced maintenance time by bumping the fuel inspection up earlier in the process so it takes place at the beginning of the repair. In the past, if an inspection identified a fuel leak, the team would have to pull parts and materials back off the aircraft, repair the leak, and redo previous work, often causing a 45-day delay, the Air Force said. The Air Force also began conducting pre-inspections before the aircraft underwent maintenance, which allowed the service to identify problems earlier. Until the B-21 is fielded, the B-2 is the world's only long-range penetrable strike bomber, and the only aircraft that can do what we need it to do today, Marino said. Marine is noted it's important to continue to invest in the bomber, especially as adversaries constantly update the weaponry across the electromagnetic spectrum. The first B-2 was rolled out in 1988, and its first flight followed soon after on July 17, 1989. The bomber, which can skate through enemy defenses undetected due to its reduced radar signature, is capable of delivering lethal munitions, including nuclear warheads. There are currently 20 B-2 bombers in circulation, with one of them being a test plane. And in our next article, veterans urge Americans against political violence ahead of election. In a public service announcement that first aired Tuesday, local election officials and retired military officers urge Americans to not interfere in the voting process or engage in political violence this election day. The Committee for Safe and Secure Elections created the PSA in response to increased threats against election officials leading up to the presidential election on November 5th. Violent threats have been on the rise since 2020, when former President Donald Trump began criticizing the people who administer elections and making unsubstantiated claims of fraud. In the PSA, retired Army Lieutenant General Ronald Burgess and retired Army Air Force General Brigadier General Marty France urged the U.S. population to not give into the false rhetoric about elections being unfair. I would say to voters, as we look at the current environment to find ourselves in, we are a nation of values. We are a nation of laws. And we need to allow our election officials to do their jobs, said Burgess, a former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. A Brennan Center poll of election officials found in May that 30% of officials have experienced threats, harassment, or abuse for doing their jobs. Widespread threats prompted the Justice Department to establish an election threats task force in 2021. And on Monday, the department announced it would set up a special hotline for people to report harassment or other types of voting interference. The hotline, 1-888-636-6596, will become available Saturday and remain open until November 8th. Carly Copps, the county clerk and record in Weld County, Colorado, is one of two election officials who participated in the PSA. Copps has been working local elections for 20 years, and November will mark her sixth presidential election. The atmosphere going into this one is delightfully more heightened and intense, Copps said, told Military Times. Before 2020, cops didn't hear from many people who were curious about how elections work. But in the 4 years since, she's engaged in thousands of one-on-one conversations, group presentations, and tours to try to alleviate concerns and push back against incorrect claims, she said. Most of the time, the conversations are successful in giving people renewed trust in the voting process, she added. Cops hopes her participation in the PSA will help remind Americans that election workers are people who live in the communities there they work, and not somebody behind a curtain pulling strings. It helps to have the public support of veterans, she said, because they're widely perceived as trusted and respectable. Cop's husband is a veteran, and several veteran volunteers to work the polls in her county, she said. It really gives me an extra boost in my backbone to stand firm against all this, and to be able to know I have some extremely high integrity, strong people that are supporting me in my role, Cop said. I feel very appreciative for the veterans who have decided to come out and support us, because I do believe veteran voices are some of the most respectable in our society. One of the veterans in the PSA, General France, said in the video, condoning, inciting, or participating in political violence is really the threshold between a free and a fair democracy and authoritarianism. Attacking and threatening election officials and their families happens in war-torn countries, not America. Francis was motivated to become involved after seeing the attacks on election workers following the 2020 presidential election, he told Military Times. If nothing else, I did this out of empathy and support for election officials that are doing such a difficult job, made more difficult by extremists who think it's their role to intimidate and even harass them, Francis said. Service members, oaths to the Constitution, should extend after their military service and include defending the country's democratic institutions, Francis added. He encouraged other veterans to help and suggested they start by talking to their friends and families about their news consumption. Academics warned this summer that a proliferation of websites were mimicking the appearance of real news organizations and targeting U.S. voters with disinformation. One Iranian leaked website was discovered earlier this month to be attempting to stir up anti-democratic sentiments among veteran voters especially. Anything I can do to tone down the rhetoric concerning election officials and the threats against them, anything I can do to help support the validity of safe and secure elections, I want to do, Francis said. This should not be a partisan issue. Our elections are safe, they are secure, and we can't allow doubt and intimidation to creep into the process. This story was produced in partnership with Military Veterans in Journalism. And in our next article, we have U.S. confirms 3,000 North Korean troops are training in Russia. U.S. officials confirm that North Korea has sent a bevy of soldiers to Russia, the first step toward what the Pentagon has said would mark a dangerous escalation in war with Ukraine. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin shared the assessment Wednesday morning while traveling in Rome, becoming the first member of the Biden administration to do so. The White House later offered more details, saying that about 3,000 North Korean troops sailed to the Russian port of Vladivostok earlier in October and are now training across three military sites in the east. What exactly they're doing all have to be seen, Austin told a group of traveling press. South Korean defense and intelligence officials have reported for weeks that Pyongyang intended to send troops to Russia, the latest step in a burgeoning partnership that began after the 2022 invasion of Ukraine. The Biden administration avoided commenting on the assessment until Wednesday, as the government separately confirmed the intelligence. As Austin's comment showed, the most immediate theme from American officials was uncertainty. Neither the Pentagon nor the White House said it knew why the soldiers were in Russia, what North Korea was getting in return, or whether they would fight in Ukraine. If the last concern proves true, White House spokesperson John Kirby said they would be fair game for the Ukrainian military. Russia has suffered huge casualties in recent months while making steady gains in Ukraine's east. losing more than 1,000 troops a day and surpassing 600,000 total casualties since 2022, American officials have said. This is certainly a highly concerning probability. After completing training, these soldiers could travel to Western Russia and then engage in combat against the Ukrainian military, Kirby said, noting that the U.S. has briefed the Ukrainian government and its intelligence. Austin traveled unannounced to Kyiv earlier this week, in his fourth and likely last trip to Ukraine as secretary. While there, he spoke with President Vladimir Zelensky and unveiled another $400 million package of military aid, the second such tranche within a week. North Korea and Russia have had a distant relationship dating back to the end of the Cold War, but have moved closer in the last 2 years. The two countries' leaders have met together, including a rare trip by Kim Jong-un outside his country to visit Vladimir Putin. U.S. officials cast the news as a sign of desperation from Russia, particularly if North Korean troops join the fight. The description has become familiar for the Biden administration, which didn't anticipate how the war in Ukraine would realign American adversaries such as Iran, which, alongside North Korea, has also sent weapons to Russia for use in Ukraine. North Korea has shipped over 16,500 containers of munitions and related material to Russia since last fall, U.S. and European officials have said. This is an indication that Putin may be even in more trouble than most people realize. But again, he went tin cupping early on to get additional weapons and materials from the DPRK and then from Iran. And now he's making a move to get more people, Austin said, using the initialism for North Korea's government. And in our next article, Watchdog sues for info about Army labeling nonprofits as terror groups. Dated October 22, 2024. The conservative organization Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit against the Pentagon this month in an attempt to obtain information that could shed more light on an Army anti-terrorism training that labeled several legitimate nonprofits as terrorist groups. Photos of slides shown during an anti-terrorism training at Fort Liberty were posted online this summer, prompting outrage about the groups labeled as terrorists. Nonprofits that were incorrectly labeled included People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, known as PETA, as well as the anti-abortion groups Operation Rescue and National Right to Life. The advocacy groups First, Earth Liberation Front, and Animal Liberation Front were also listed. National Right to Life issued a news release calling the situation deeply offensive to all pro-life Americans, and PETA told Military Times the Army made the correct decision to get rid of the counterfactual presentation. Judicial Watch, which often files Freedom of Information Act lawsuits to investigate claimed misconduct, accused the Army of targeting anti-abortion Christians. The group wants the Defense Department to hand over any documents that could show why National Right to Life and other anti-abortion groups were on the list. Judicial Watch is also suing for any emails written by Army Secretary Christine Wormuth, Undersecretary Gabe Camarillo, Chief of Staff General Randy George, and Vice Chief of Staff General James Mingus that might mention designating anti-abortion groups as terrorist organizations. The group claimed the training was made with ill intent and wasn't merely a blunder, as the Army had previously said. Army leaders testified to lawmakers in September about the training. An internal investigation found that the soldier who created the slides was an employee of the local garrison and added the nonprofits based on open source research, said Army Assistant Secretary Agnes Gerben Schaefer. The Army didn't find any evidence that the soldier sought to subvert Defense Department policy or to further a personal political viewpoint. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisles criticized Lieutenant General Patrick Matlock, the Army Deputy Chief of Staff, after he refused to reveal what disciplinary measures the soldier faced. Matlock said only that the soldier was retrained and the chain of command took action. He cited privacy and safety concerns as the reason he wouldn't give more details. In a news release last week, Judicial Watch blamed President Joe Biden's administration for trying to set our military against conservative American citizens. However, the Army investigation found that the training slides were created in 2017, while former President Donald Trump was in office. About 9,100 soldiers saw the slides over the past 7 years, the Army investigation found. The training materials were very poorly developed, and we fully acknowledge that failure, Matlock testified. That length of time is almost unexplainable. And in case you're just now joining us, you're listening to Military Times. In our next article, Marines tackle barracks repairs with elbow grease outside expertise, dated October 23rd, 2024. Marines at Camp Pendleton, California, are pairing up with building maintenance experts to tackle barracks repairs as part of a 2-week stand down to address unaccompanied housing issues across the base. Called Operation Clean Sweep, the event, which began October 16th and runs until October 30th, is an early step in the Corps' long-term effort to repair, restore, and build out better housing for Leathernecks and their families force-wide, according to a Marine Corps release. Deferred maintenance and funding shortfalls have plagued Marine housing for decades, leading to wall-to-wall inspections of the Marine Corps' more than 60,000 barracks rooms earlier this year along the Marine Corps Commandant General Eric Smith's launch of a barracks overhaul initiative dubbed Barracks 2030. As part of the overall initiative, the Corps will consolidate Marines into better buildings and demolish the worst ones, hire professional barracks managers, and increase funding for barracks restoration. Assistant Commandant General Christopher Mahoney previously said those inspections were the baseline for understanding where the Corps could focus its efforts. None of this is going to happen overnight, Mahoney said. The inspection is one of many first steps. One of the next steps is the Barracks 360 reset, which covers the clean sweep at Pendleton. It seeks to address some of the low-hanging fixes by pairing experts in areas such as drywall repair, window screen replacement, and air conditioning installation with Marine staff at the West Coast base to identify and make these minor repairs. The 1st Marine Expeditionary Force and Marine Corps Installations West are investing nearly $4.2 million in housing maintenance repairs. More than half of that funding, or $2.2 million, was spent for a surge to address backlogged maintenance requests, according to the statement. The remaining dollars were spent on air conditioning units to be delivered in the coming months. In addition to the spending and repairs, the Corps has identified housing rights and responsibilities and minimum acceptable standards for barracks rooms in the residence guide. Staff at Pendleton held town hall meetings ahead of Operation Clean Sweep to educate residents on barracks upkeep and available resources. Navy CBs will work with Marines and sailors on self-help projects such as minor room repairs, according to the release. The Corps hired contracted civilian labor to reduce maintenance backlog on the installation. In a separate effort aimed at improving barracks conditions, the Corps launched the QSR Max system in July that allows Marines to submit maintenance requests to USMC Max through a QR code on their phone. QSR Max then routes the request to the barracks and building managers on base, Marine Corps Times previously reported. Marine housing has deteriorated as the Corps prioritized spending on weapons and training over the past 2 decades during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a 2023 Government Accountability Office report found. Mold, dysfunctional plumbing, and poor heating and cooling in Marine barracks. An estimated 87,000 Marines live in barracks, Major General David Maxwell, head of Marine Corps Installations Command, wrote in a February Marine Corps Gazette article. Maxwell noted that 17% of the Corps, 658 barracks buildings, were listed as in poor or failing condition. As of March, an estimated 17,000 Marines, or 20%, live in barracks that fell short of military standards regarding privacy and room configuration, according to the GAO report. The Corps' wall-to-wall inspections conducted earlier this year found half of all barracks rooms were partially mission-capable, which means the rooms were deficient in at least one of the regulated living standards, Marine Corps Times previously reported. At the annual Modern Day Marine Conference in May, Smith addressed the decades-long shortfalls. So again, I can't apologize for the previous generations of Marines to prioritize training and equipping over quality of life, he said. But now the tide has to turn, and we have to get back to quality of life. In recent years, the Corps has spent an average of about $200 million annually on barracks maintenance. The Corps requested $274 million in its fiscal 2025 budget to address barracks conditions, a $65 million increase over fiscal 2024. The service's requested total fiscal 2025 budget is $53.7 billion. However, according to an internal memo obtained by Marine Corps Times in January, the service estimates it will need about $1.5 billion each year to bring all its barracks up to good to fair condition. The Corps deferred maintenance hand amounts to more than $15.8 billion, according to Navy budget documents. But catching up requires smart strategies for the money the Corps does have. The Marine Corps cannot overcompensate with significant sums of money that cannot be spent smartly and risk investing in the wrong initiatives because it must spend money now, Maxwell wrote in the Marine Corps Gazette article. In our next article, Army ordered to release records on Trump's Arlington Cemetery visit. Dated October 22, 2024, a federal judge has ordered Army officials to release their records by the end of this week regarding President Donald Trump's controversial visit to Arlington National Cemetery this summer. Senior Judge Paul Friedman of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia on Tuesday granted the release request as part of a lawsuit brought by American Oversight, a nonpartisan, nonprofit group dedicated to getting the government to release records. The group sued for the records to be made public following a Freedom of Information Act request. With the election just 2 weeks away, the American people have a clear and compelling interest in knowing how the government responded to an alleged incident involving a major presidential candidate who has a history of politicizing the military. Chioma Chukwu, the group's interim executive director, said in a statement following the order. The legal fight stems from Trump's visit to the Story Military Cemetery on August 26. The former commander-in-chief and Republican nominee for president visited the site as part of an event commemorating the anniversary of the deaths of 13 U.S. service members in a terrorist building bombing at the Hamid Karzai International Airport in 2021, during the chaotic final days of the American military mission in Afghanistan. At the invitation of some of those survivors' family members, Trump took part in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, then visited Section 60 of the cemetery, where many troops killed in Iraq and Afghanistan wars are buried. Shots of Trump smiling and giving a thumbs up alongside service members' tombstones were later used in campaign spots. In addition, Army officials said an employee who attempted to stop campaign workers from filming the area was abruptly pushed aside by a Trump campaign staffer. That individual, who has not been publicly identified, opted not to press charges. Army officials decried the incident, since Trump was warned that federal laws, Army regulations, and DoD policies clearly prohibit political activities on cemetery grounds. But they also said they would not pursue any further reprimands or punishments and did not disclose any further details of the incident. Several Democratic lawmakers have called for a full release of the Army's report on the visit. Trump has denied any wrongdoing, and his staff has released several statements from the families of fallen troops involved in the visit who praised the former president for his kindness and attention to their struggles. Trump campaign officials also initially promised to release video proving that they followed all appropriate cemetery rules, but have thus far declined to provide any such proof. The unreleased Army records could provide more insight into the level of confrontation between Trump staffers and cemetery staff on the day, and whether the former president helped calm or inflame the situation. Tuesday's court order calls for Army officials to make public, responsive, non-exempt records, which could allow service officials to continue shielding the identity of the employee who claimed to have been assaulted. Army officials did not provide an immediate timeline of how the information may be released to the public. In our next article, Army investigating death of sergeant at Fort Leonard Wood. The Army is investigating the death of a Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri soldier who missed formation Monday and was later found dead. Post officials said military police initially issued a missing person alert Monday for Sergeant Sarah Roque, 23, before finding the soldier dead. Sergeant Roque was a daughter, sister, friend, soldier who chose to serve our country bravely and honorably. Major General Christopher Beck held of both the Maneuver Support Center of Excellence and Fort Leonard Wood said in a statement Tuesday. Her passing has caused a tremendous void throughout our team, and while there are no words to ease the pain, we continue to provide care, resources, and support to those who are affected during this time. Installation Public Affairs officials released a statement with details of Roque's background and deferred further comment to Army Criminal Investigation Division. Army CID is handling the case now, and in accordance with policy, declines to comment on ongoing investigations. Originally from Ligonier, Indiana, Roque enlisted in 2020 and graduated basic training at Fort Leonard Wood, according to the statement. She served as a bridge crew member and mine dog handler with the 5th Engineer Battalion's K-9 Detachment. Roque's awards and decorations include Army Commendation Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Good Conduct Medal, and the Army Service Ribbon. In our next article, Vice President Harris plans to provide medical care for military PFAS victims. Vice President Kamala Harris on Tuesday will publicly back plans to provide easier access to disability and medical benefits to veterans exposed to per- and polyfluoroacryl substances, or PFAS, while serving in the military. The move is a significant boost to issue of groundwater contamination issues at bases around the country and follows on Harris's work in President Joe Biden's administration to better address military toxic exposure issues. Harris' Support for the Veterans Exposed to Toxic PFAS Act, sponsored by Michigan Democrats Senators Debbie Stabenow and Representative Dan Kildee, came as part of a broader announcement of Latino-focused policies featured in her presidential campaign. The legislation would require Veterans Affairs officials to provide health care services and benefits to veterans exposed to PFAS at military installations. Well, I think this is all the time we have for now. I'd like to thank you for listening to Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and I hope that you'll join us next time.